Welcome to the Fed Health Forward podcast series. Dr. Barbara Van Dalen, who's a strategic advisor to DSS, she's also the CEO of We Be Life and a renowned clinical psychologist and mental health consultant, recently authored a GovExec guest article about how advanced and emerging technology can help the VA to save lives. And today we're joined by Dr. Van Dalen. And Dr. Van Dalen, welcome.
Thank you, Matt. I'm always happy to talk about these critical issues.
Yeah, and we're always happy to have you on this podcast series. And this is a really big one. I know this article was really a big deal, and congrats on getting it placed. And you know, with that in mind, if you don't mind, give us a high-level overview of what you covered in the GovExec guest article.
Sure. So my goal for this article was really to help the readers, our audience, understand why it's important to think about technology in this space, and also how technology can specifically be applied to address the needs of our veterans and their families and to save lives. So it was both to basically set the stage, if you will, and then fill in a little bit of the details that specifically help us understand the value, the use, and also the future of technology.
Yeah, that's great. And I know you started out the article talking really about the current state of the suicide prevention challenges at the VA. So before we dive into the meat and bones of the article, tell us about the current state right now.
Well, you know, before I talk about the numbers, because the report that came out in the fall from the VA does indicate an increase in suicide among our veterans, which of course, any suicide, one suicide is tragic, and suicide is a preventable death. So full stop. That's important for us to acknowledge. But I also want to note, because listeners may be confused, if I reference the numbers for 2021, well, that was now 3 years ago. I mean, now we're in 2024. But the numbers, when we talk about the suicide deaths, there's always a delay in calculating and analyzing that information, not just for veterans, but really for civilians as well. Only DOD, only the Department of Defense has more current data because of how they track active duty service members. So these numbers that we're talking about for the report that came out in the fall are the 2021 numbers. And what was happening during that time? We were all living through COVID. And it was actually the early stages of COVID, which we know had a negative effect nationally, internationally, on mental health and well-being. So I say that, but suicide is a very complex phenomenon. And so trying to understand why we saw what we saw in that report, which is basically an overall increase in veteran suicide, 11.6% increase in veteran suicide compared to 4.5% that same year for non-veterans. And there were some numbers in there that were particularly concerning, should be very concerning to all of us, specifically the rise in suicide rates among women veterans was 24.1%. So those are staggering. That's a staggering number. Now, the overall number of women veterans who died by suicide is small relative to their male counterparts because fewer women serve in the military still. But that increase should get everyone's attention. So we saw an overall increase in veterans, and we saw an increase in women veterans. There was some positive news, some positive indicators. Specifically, we saw a decrease overall in male veterans who are over 75. You know, we might talk a little bit about, well, gee, why might that be? We also saw a decrease in suicide among veterans 55 to 75 who had recently received care from the Veterans Health Administration. That's really important. And I'm going to come back to that point a number of times. So just to restate that, veterans who went to the VA for care, and it wasn't just that 55 to 75-year-old group, it was also the 18 to 35-year-old group, although their reduction of suicide was not quite as great. It was 1.9% compared to 2.2%. So we saw, you know, around that range, veterans who went to the VA to receive health care actually had a lower suicide rate than veterans who didn't receive care from the VA. So that's sort of the overall, increase with women veterans, decrease with our older veterans, and a decrease for some of our veterans who received care at the VA.
Wow. You know, that point there about veterans who receive care at the VA plays perfectly into my next question, because in the article, you talk about why it's important to identify and engage with high-risk veterans. And you also discuss how advanced innovations can help with this, and would love to hear more about that.
Well, you're spot on, Matt. The key here, anytime we're talking about suicide prevention, and as you know, I had the privilege of being the executive director for the Prevents Task Force, which was the first all of nation and all of government effort focused on suicide prevention. And so this space I know well. It is an incredibly complex human phenomenon, suicide. It just is. There isn't one cause. There isn't one way to prevent it. There isn't one thing that, oh my gosh, if that's happening in someone's life, that's going to lead to suicide. No, it is often a cumulative effect. It is definitely very idiosyncratic, meaning that individual, some of us, can withstand a tremendous number of hits, if you will, in terms of trauma and loss and tragic life events, whereas others of us may not be so able to withstand that for a whole variety of reasons. And again, those are future podcasts, Matt. We can talk about this all day in and out because this is so complex. So what do we know? We know that identifying at-risk veterans is key. Identifying those veterans who are at risk, who are indicating that they're struggling, key. We know that supporting our veterans and increasing protective factors around them, social connections, resources in communities, family support, also key to reduce suicide. So increase the protective, decrease the risk. And one of the things that we can do in the VA is, in fact, to track veterans who have indicated either in the VA services directly or in some other manner. We'll talk about the VCL, I think, the Veterans Crisis Line. We know that by tracking them, by reaching out to them, by helping them develop plans to get help and support, all these things can reduce suicide. And so technology gives us an opportunity to do more of that. It doesn't take the place of the humans. As we talk about, when we get to the part of the conversation where we're going to talk about AI, the human in the loop concept doesn't just apply to AI. It also means any process that is maybe technology at play still got to have the people doing the outreach and connecting directly.
Yeah, that's a great point. And your point about AI, you dive into this in the article and you're talking about what you call in the article emerging technology, such as traditional and emotion AI, and would love to hear more about that.
Well, and I will indeed talk about that. But before I do, let me go back to just regular old technology, because what we're seeing. So first, let me take even a step back of that. The VA has always been committed to suicide prevention. Sometimes, sadly, we get, you know, stories in the news about a veteran who dies by suicide, sometimes in a very public and dramatic way. And it's heart-wrenching. It's devastating for families, for communities. The VA has always been incredibly committed, dedicated. And we know that because of all that they've done in that space. One way that's very noticeable, if you will, in terms of actions that they've taken over the years, is they actually embed suicide prevention coordinators into each VA medical center. What does that mean? That means that there is a human, again, back to the human in the loop, there is a human there at each medical center. Their only job is to coordinate around veterans who are at risk. Okay, so that's critical. Then we look at, okay, these suicide prevention coordinators, again, they're humans and they have a lot of information to manage. Sometimes that can be overwhelming. Their caseloads are often huge. They often are trying because they're very committed. I worked with some of these folks when I had the privilege of working in the government. They are dedicated and compassionate, often veterans themselves, but they're humans. And so they have to juggle a lot of demands on them to identify, not only track those that have been identified, but also make sure that all the processes are in place to properly identify. Okay. So how can technology be of help to them? One of the things that we know is helpful is if a veteran presents in an emergency room and they are indicating that they have some concerning thoughts. By the way, I always like to sprinkle little tidbits of knowledge in here, Matt. one in three adults in a given year might have thoughts of suicide. That doesn't mean that we're going to actually take any steps. It may mean that we're struggling, we're going through a rough time in our life. We may have a flash. Okay, so people have these thoughts. That doesn't mean they're going to take action. So imagine a veteran who comes in to an emergency room, or emergency department. He or she expresses these concerns, but they're not at a point where they need to be hospitalized or actually, you know, are indicating signs that should happen or be considered. But we're worried about them. We know that if in that visit, a safety plan is developed that they go home with, that actually, remember earlier I said it's important to connect to resources, to get family wrapped around people who are struggling. So we have a safety plan. And what's important is that gives them actual plans, resources, connections. And we know the data is very clear. Safety planning is helpful. So now we got veterans coming in. They show up in emergency departments. What would happen if we had technology that actually alerted those suicide prevention coordinators? There's a veteran at risk in going through our system. He or she is in the emergency room or has been, you know, en route to the emergency room. We would want to know that once they get there, if they're a high-risk veteran, those safety plans need to happen. It's called SPED is the acronym, which is Safety Planning in Emergency Departments. And the VA is very focused on if a veteran is in need, those plans have to be completed. So there's now technology that has developed that provides real-time data for those suicide prevention coordinators to help them track all of these things. And that SPED compliance in some centers where they have this technology is 100%. That's phenomenal. So that's just really solid, good use of technology that is available. The other way, and then we'll go back to your other question about AI. The other thing that's so exciting about this technology that I'm referring to, it's smart technology that allows really the tracking. It's an administrative, if you will, support system that identifies real-time veterans who perhaps are on the at-risk list, who've missed their appointments. Well, someone should follow up with them, who maybe have gone to the emergency room. Someone should make sure that they're tracking, do a safety plan. Okay, so that's clear. Technology can help that way. It also helps those overworked, burdened, dedicated, highly professional suicide prevention coordinators. They found in tracking the impact of using this kind of technology, they can decrease their workload 80% or increase the efficiency by an average of 80% decrease in time required to complete several tasks. So again, we know that technology, just this kind of technology, even before we get into AI, can be really helpful to address the needs of our veterans, specifically tracking our at-risk veterans.
This is great. You set the stage perfectly for this. So really, it's like, tell us about how emerging technologies such as traditional and emotion AI can help. And you've certainly highlighted this very well in your article, too.
Thank you. Yes. So, you know, right now, technology is advancing. And I mean, it has been, you know, so fast. It's really sort of mind-blowing when we think about where we've come in the last 20 years in terms of technology. Another slight digression. You know, I just watched a movie when I was on a flight recently that was about the development of the BlackBerry. And it was fascinating to go back in time to when that was, which was just a little over 20 years ago. And, you know, it was the beginning of cell phones and any kind of technology that allowed you to actually receive messages. Look how far we've come. It's, again, mind-blowing. So here we are, and now we have this new thing that's AI. And AI really is both generative AI, which means the ability to take a tremendous amount of information and organize it and categorize it and present it. And people are familiar with ChatGPT and all these things that are now available. And then there's things like emotion AI, which actually that technology is emerging also very rapidly, that allows the use of technology to detect certain qualities in someone's speaking, their voice, the pacing, the intensity. Both of those types of technology, AI, can help those who work in the veteran space better identify, better support, better reach, and ultimately protect our veterans who are at high risk. So just in terms of the traditional AI, again, going back to our suicide prevention coordinators, also we're going to touch here on the Veterans Crisis Line, which is an incredibly effective helpline for veterans and service members. It's connected to the 988, dial 988 if you have a mental health crisis or are concerned about yourself or someone that you love. Press 1 if you're a veteran or member of the armed services. So you have a veteran who makes that call to the VCL. The way that generative AI or traditional AI can be of help is these suicide prevention, now the responders on those phone lines or text line, they have to, like I'm talking to you, try to have a conversation that is smooth, as well as understand all of what might be in the data about this veteran. So as we think about implementing technology and AI to gather that information for that responder, again, keeping the human in the loop to answer the questions, to answer the call, to connect, to be supportive, empathic, having AI eventually serve up, oh, this veteran was seen in the emergency department last week. This veteran perhaps had a mental health situation that was addressed effectively in this way. What is the data that we know about them? Imagine how powerful that will be. So that is in process, that kind of work using AI. Emotion AI, a special kind of AI, which, as I said, detects emotion in the voice. And again, it's emerging, it's developing. It's not all the kinks and, you know, everything hasn't been worked out yet. So we need to be mindful about how we implement, when we implement. But we do know it's already being used in customer service situations. So if you and I are talking, Matt, and I'm an irate customer, it allows you not only to listen and hear that, but there may be things about my voice, the pace, the stress, the breath, everything about how I'm talking that gives you additional information that helps you respond in terms of customer service needs. So we know it's being used and it's being used effectively. We're now looking at how can we use that to respond more effectively to a veteran who's calling in crisis, how to help, how to modulate our own reaction based on what information we're getting from that AI. Now, this leads us back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation. Those veterans who go to the VA for care are less likely to die by suicide. Everything and anything we can do to make their experience more positive will make sure that they come back, or they'll continue to come, or they'll stay longer on those calls, in their visits. We want to work both on the customer relations side as well as the crisis response side.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I really appreciate that rundown there. I mean, emotion AI is certainly a game changer. And, you know, AI has been in our lives since, what, November 2022 when ChatGPT launched. And of course, many of us have concerns about AI, and I think the general population does, but also veterans and family members probably have concerns about AI in general, and would love your take on that.
Absolutely. I mean, we all do, and we all should, because it can be used in very nefarious ways. We know this. There are news reports coming out about how voice, basically mimicry, can be used in all kinds of ways, fraud, and also to disrupt political processes. And so, yes, veterans and their families and we who serve them should be wary. We should demand transparency. We should ask the questions that we need to ask. So should we basically go full tilt into using AI for everything and anywhere, any way we possibly can? No. We also need to study it. We need to explore it. We need to educate. So as we think about using these tools, and I know the VA is mindful and thoughtful about this. I was in there. I know the people who were there. So we are in this new age where there's all kinds of promise, but we need to be careful. We need to be mindful. We need to evaluate. We need to not assume that AI can take the place of the caring, the concern, the thoughtfulness, the thoroughness, the detail-orientedness of humans. It just is an augmented intelligence. It's an augmented intelligence. It's not to take the place. And if anyone, as a psychologist, I will tell you, any tool that says, oh, now we can use AI to provide therapy or counseling. No, we can't. We're not there yet. We cannot do that. Maybe someday there will be a tool that allows us to augment that insight-oriented capability that humans have, empathic capabilities that we humans have, but not yet. But it can help in giving people a sense of support and providing information to them, answering their questions. So a lot it can do, but there's a lot still that it can't do.
Yeah, that's great. You know, really appreciate your insights today, Dr. Van Dalen. And before we sign off, anything else to add? And as you noted, we could probably do 1,000 podcasts and go really deep on this topic. But for at least for this one, would love any parting shots from you.
So thank you, first of all, Matt, for allowing me to have this opportunity to talk about this article for folks who, like me, are busy. And sometimes it's nice to listen if I don't have time to necessarily read the article or if I want to have follow-up. So hopefully this sort of fit both of those, you know. But I appreciate it. This is such an important topic, and there is much to talk about, and I know we will continue to talk about it. The one thing I would like to just close with is basically a follow-up on the last point we made, which is about AI and technology in general. You know, in this day and age, and I think our listeners will nod their heads when I say this, we have to be our own advocates, not just when it comes to our mental health care or well-being care or health care. We certainly need to be our own advocates in healthcare, but we need to be our own advocates with the explosion of technology, you know, for making sure that we are protecting our children as technology emerges. We know that that's an issue. Protecting those who we are concerned about who are at risk, as we've been talking about, because they are dealing with mental health challenges or severe emotional pain. So ask questions, push for answers, require transparency. Push your care providers so that you understand, and also push your community. Don't allow a fear or ignorance to prevent your community from getting amazing tools that actually can help save lives.
Well, what a perfect way to end this Fed Health Forward podcast interview with Dr. Barbara Van Dalen, who's a strategic advisor to DSS, the CEO of Weeby Life, and she's also a renowned clinical psychologist and mental health consultant who recently authored a GovExec guest article about advanced and emerging technologies and how these technologies can help save lives at the VA. And Dr. Van Dalen, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt. Anytime.